that first Christian Pentecost that Ray read about in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit descended in a powerful, supernatural way to empower those disciples to go into the world and share the good news. Now, a lot of people think that that what they were speaking was babble, or that they were rambling some unknown language. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's glossolalia, which comes much, much, much later in history, not that long ago. It has nothing to do with Pentecost. Well, maybe something to do with Pentecost, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. They were given the ability, these fishermen, tax collectors, and farmers were given the ability to speak Parthian, Pamphylian, Cappadocian, Mesopotamian, all the languages of that area instantly. Why? So that the message of God's love and grace and forgiveness can go into the uttermost parts of the world. And that's exactly what happened. This was the birth of the Christian church. It's what God had in mind all along, but they could not do a single thing, just like the kids can't light that barbecue grill with the clicker without fuel. And so the apostles got fueled up that day, and we are the recipients and also those called to continue that empowerment of the church each Sunday. This church would not be here if it were not for the Holy Spirit. Many of you know that all three of our buildings are still standing. Right down the street on Mulberry Street, there's a little brown shingle wall building built around 1790. Still there. It's a private house now. Just up the street is a big two- or three-story white structure. Used to be the Mary Carter paint store, I understand. That was our second building, still standing, built in 1860-something. And of course, our sanctuary was built in 1910. This was added on in 1956. None of this would exist if it were not for the movement of the Holy Spirit in 1784, at a little place up the road called Barrett's Chapel, where two Methodist bishops got together and said, you know what, we want to start the Methodist movement in America. And from that point on, they started building churches all over this land. This is the garden of Methodism. This is really where it all began in America in any real way. So all of that was the Holy Spirit. Okay. When Peter preached his sermon, and it was the greatest sermon ever preached. How do we know that? Because at the very end it says 3,000 people came to believe, came to faith after that sermon. But after Peter preached, the people said, what shall we do? What shall we do? And of course, Peter's response was, repent of your sin, and be baptized. Then you, in the name of Jesus Christ, then you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people got saved that day. 3,000 people received the Holy Spirit and were just sent out into the world to share the good news. What shall we do? This question has been kind of percolating in my mind for many months as we think about goals and objectives for the coming year. Last November, December, our bishop made us aware of a call to action. It's a long story, but basically it was a call to action for as a response to the deterioration of membership in the United Methodist Church. We are losing members hand over fist. People are not coming to the United Methodist Church for various reasons. We're seeing that in many different ways. We're feeling that in many different ways. Why is that? Why are people not coming to the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, like they did so back in the mid-1800s and whatnot? There are many different reasons. As a response to this loss of membership, our denomination did a nationwide study of all 33,000 churches. 33,000 churches, just like this one, throughout the land. And they found that 5,000 of them were doing good things in five different areas. And they were called drivers of vitality. drivers of vitality, and they're really nothing new. And so as our dream team and vision team got together, we used these five drivers of vitality for vital churches, vital congregations, to focus our visions and dreams for the next 3 to 5 years. We got together 3 or 4 times over the last 6 months, our vision team, dream team. And we came up with goals in these five areas. The five areas are worship attendance, professions of faith, spiritual growth, people engaged in missions, and giving to missions. Those are the five areas, key areas, that were found in all 5,000 churches that were growing by leaps and bounds. So I thought, and we thought, what better way to keep our church growing? And you know, our church is doing well. It's you know, I think it's, you know, one of the success stories in our conference, but we can always do better. We can always do more. And so we use this as our guide. And so today I'd like to share with you, and in your bulletin, you have on page 9, I think it is, 13, the Reader's Digest version of our goals. And I've got them up on the screen as well. I'm not going to go in detail over them with you. I'm going to use the bulletin version. Over the past 6 months, the Dream Team has been prayerfully considering where the Holy Spirit is leading us and what we should do. This is a condensed version of the goals we've adopted and the Administrative Council has approved just this week. We want to increase worship attendance by having a Sunday night music service during the summer months. Bring a friend Sunday 2 times a year. Church worship and ministry information brochures to all the rental agents in the Lewis area. We've started doing that already. I need to talk to the real estate agents here today, by the way. A new Saturday night contemporary worship service for 20-40-somethings to help increase worship attendance. And again, remember, a lot of our focus is on vacationers and those who come here during the summertime. Notice some of these things are summertime things. We want to attract people like the good family that's here with us today, vacationing here in Lewis, Delaware. They're taking up a whole pew back there, by the way, or a whole row of seats. Praise God. Increase new members through professions of faith. You know, you join the church one of two ways, as a baptized member or as a professing member. We want to increase our professions of faith. Now, that is, of course, not transfers, not affiliates or associate membership. This is professions of faith, people making a commitment to Jesus Christ by having the two beginnings classes. And some of you, how many of you have attended the beginnings classes? Yep, there's a handful of you here today. That's Alpha. I call it the Wesleyanized version of Alpha. Develop more support and recovery groups, open doors to the church. I don't know how many people have come to our church as a result of Grief Share. You all know about Grief Share? We've got a bunch of folks that have joined the church through Grief Share. Contemporary Christian concerts and speakers for youth and adults. More on that later. Increased opportunities for spiritual growth. We have a small group ministry team led by Debbie Dawson, Julie Beebe, and Kathy Engel. And they are here to help coordinate all the small group activity. Continue youth groups for Bible study. Continue music and service groups for youth and young adults. And developing an education system for small groups. Increasing the number of members engaged in missions. Developing more short-term local mission opportunities. We do a pretty good job with foreign missions and regional missions. We need more short-term missions to balance things out. Educate and promote adult mission trips. That just warms Elizabeth's heart, I know. And increase the amount given to missions by increasing the mission minutes each week, improving communications, and keeping missions a top budgetary priority. What shall we do? Here's what we shall do with God's help, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you'll probably all have a lot of questions about these goals and want to know more about them. There is a more detailed version of this on the back table if you'd like to take one with you. It's got the Dream Team on the back, on the front, along with our logo. Please feel free to look it over. Folks, the Holy Spirit is more than a warm fuzzy. The Holy Spirit is more than just having the cockles of your heart tickled or warmed after you've left worship one day or as you're sitting in worship. The Holy Spirit is more than that. Holy Spirit is the gift of grace that is the power behind all that we do and that whatever church does, to transform lives, to transform communities, to transform, ultimately, the world. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. Look at what the apostles were able to do after Pentecost. The church is a result of their being sent, empowered by God's Spirit. And it is the same power that we receive when we receive Jesus Christ and when we are too are sent out to be apostles and disciples today. You may come singing, "Just as I am," but God loves you too much to leave you that way. God loves you too much to leave you that way. And it is the Holy Spirit that has brought you here today, that has inspired our dream team, and is sending this church forward in faith with a job to do. What shall we do? There it is, in living color. Let this be our guiding principle, our guiding plan, our vision for the next 3 to 5 years. And the Bible says, if the people have no vision, they what? They perish. Without a vision, we perish. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the inspiration that you've given our vision team. We thank you, Lord, for those who have heard your voice today and seen what we are hoping to do with your help. But Lord, we know we can't do a thing. We cannot even get out of bed without your Spirit, without your power. Strengthen us, empower us, and move us into action. And help us to be a vital congregation in our United Methodist Connection. Help us to be what you have called us to be in this mission outpost called Lewis, Delaware. Help us, O God, to be the people that you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joyce.